Welcome to the At YouTube Podcast number 72, where we talk all things U2, album news, tour dates, and upcoming album releases, as it happens to happen, from the staff of At U2.
Right.
I'm Chris, iChris on the Twitters, and I'm joined by my boss. Start laughing.
The future CEO of Cancun.com.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Where's my... Oh, wrong one. There we go. This is the intro he needs. He deserves as the future Cancun experience officer, Mr. Matt McGee. Welcome back to the program, Matt.
Thanks. Wow, now I'm taking up the huge screen on my monitor here.
Yeah, I'm trying the video switching idea.
All right.
So you got, in the background, you have, we have your wife and then Bono sort of hidden behind her.
Right. And then that's the shredding machine right over here. And then over here, we have some lovely scented candles because my dog lives in my office and makes the place smell like dog. And I don't like my office to smell like dog. So, and then we've got the Pop Mart poster. And we've got the Joshua tree right behind me. So, yeah, we're in a good workspace.
Yeah, it's not you may have come here thinking U2 tour, but it's actually Matt's office tour is what we're doing tonight. So we're competing live. We stream live sometimes. Often we record it live, and it's at twitch.tv/goodstuff_FM. And we're competing tonight with Amazon. I don't know if you ever heard of Amazon. Actually, Amazon owns Twitch, so we're kind of like on competing platforms, as it were. But they have their
very
whole
subversive tonight.
Yeah, U2 experience going on. But this will
which you can't listen to, right? You couldn't hear any of that.
It's what did you say? America. Austria?
Austria, right? How does the US, UK, Germany, and Austria, which is just like the most random.
It seems to be if you have access to, you have Amazon Music Unlimited. So you have to have Prime, and then there's an add-on called Music Unlimited if you have access to that. As far as we've heard, it's all a lot of probably rehashed stuff. I mean, it's neat, like not taking anything away from it, but you shouldn't switch away to it right now, clearly.
No, not at all. As I just tweeted, there's going to be a lot more laughs and insight on our live stream than on Amazon.
Get it all out the edge.
So, see, there we got quotes already from the edge.
There you go.
It's a jive moment.
So, but yeah, it's something, there's apparently 24 hours of footage anyways of U2, so if you're got a hankering and you're in one of those four countries for some more U2 content as you wait for Songs of Experience to come out on Friday, and you're not one of those people who will judge tremendously that happen to listen to leaked music. But anyways, before we get into all that, that's what we're going to talk about at the roundtable, is how you listen to and take in a brand new U2 album and whether you listen to leaks and all that kind of stuff. We'll get into that. The roundtable is small. I guess it's just a table at this time. Just you and I.
It's more like a two-seater in the corner here.
Yeah. But we'll get to that. But before we do, we just wanted to follow up a bit from last episode. We had John Bigway from the Zootopia Forums on. We were talking about how to buy tickets for the big concerts tour that was announced and all the sort of kerfuffle that happened since then. We've kind of been wanting to respond and then waiting to see what happened and then wanting to respond to that and then waiting to see what happened. So, Matt, I don't know if you want to sort of briefly catch everybody up and just sort of where we're at today and why we're not devoting more hours and hours to that discussion, I guess, as some people maybe want.
Yeah. Well, right. We could probably talk ad nauseum about it, but yeah. So, I mean, there was the pre-sales were kind of a disaster. And then there was a second round of pre-sales that started this week that there's still some confusion going on, and we're getting tweets and seeing, you know, things on Facebook where there's still some issues. People are having trouble, you know, knowing what codes are active or not active. They're having trouble getting codes still, but it's, compared to last week, it seems much, much less of a problem. That might be just because there's far fewer fans trying for tickets this week, because it's just, you know, this second grouping of shows, six extra shows or whatever, seven extra shows. But anyway, yeah, so, it's, seems to be better. And we posted that letter from the reply from Guy Ossiri kind of explaining things. And then I published sort of some thoughts on that. Sherry Lawrence from our team. I don't know. I guess we'll just see we'll just see where it goes. The group of fans, the 40 or so fans that came together to send the original letter to U2 and management that the guy replied to. We're now kind of working on sort of a follow up. Just, you know, thank you for replying, and we still have these concerns. Blah 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 blah. And I, you know, I thought, you know, one of the cool things that, you know, he said was let's keep the lines open of communication. So I think that's kind of where we are now, is that we're going to try and keep the lines of communication open, and you know, hopefully whatever they do in Europe when that tour is announced, and assuming they go to Australia, New Zealand, if that tour is announced, hopefully things will be in a much better place by then. That's kind of what I'm hoping for.
Right. And there's for Canadian listeners out there, I know the Montreal show, the second round of, or the second show's tickets go on sale, I think Friday, if what I got text was that I got was correct, but I haven't actually looked into that since then. So if there's anybody in the chat room who wants to correct me, feel free. But yeah, we'll, seems to be less, but I think I agree with you that there's probably less of the anxious fans involved too. So it'll be a little less stressful all around maybe, but be sure to, you can tweet at you too, and let us know if you're having issues or if it's going really well too. And both sides of the coin, I guess.
Yeah. And then I guess just the one thing I'd want to add too, is that, you know, we're still as confused about some things as, you know, most of our followers and readers and listeners are. And so, you know, I just think the best thing to do is to read the help page on U2.com and check what's going on in Zootopia, which is probably the closest place you're going to get any official answers, because the mods there, as they always do, they're doing, you know, just terrific work trying to take the questions and concerns and issues that the fans have and pass them up the line to the Live Nation people to try and get, you know, accurate information. So that would be the first place I would go to sort of try to get help.
Yeah, and in the chat room, Mysterious Days, Vid is saying there's also another petition going around with signatures and suggestions. There's lots of fan sort of work being done. Hopefully, as we've seen with a guy so far and management, they're hearing it, they're paying attention, they're listening. I doubt that every single person or group will necessarily get a response, but he has on occasion said, you know, DM me on Twitter and let me know what's going on. And so, yeah, everybody's welcome to obviously try and contact them. There's no rules against that. And so feel free. And yeah, all obviously everybody hopes for you as a YouTube fan, whoever you are.
Yeah. And right. Exactly. And just, you know, there's, look, in all the years, you know, I think a lot of people say this, that if you try hard enough, you will eventually get the tickets you need, because somebody will have an extra. And that's always been the case for me, you know, even last minute needing to get a ticket to get my son in to see one of the U2 IE tour shows in 2015. You know, just don't give up. Just, you know, keep checking. They release more tickets on Ticketmaster. You know, there's all kinds of different opportunities. So don't throw the towel in.
Yeah. Other stuff that's happened, just we thought we'd catch folks up on in case it's escaped your radar or whatever, but there's the U2 conference in 2018 that we mentioned, I think, a couple episodes back. So you can visit U2conference.com to find out details. That's in Belfast, right? Northern Ireland.
Yes.
Mid spring 2018, I believe. So
I think June is the
June. Okay.
I think it's June. Yeah.
I could click the link obviously, but I'll leave you all in suspense as to when it actually is. And U2 was on Australia's 60 Minutes that you referenced, that Edge had said they would absolutely be coming back to Australia. And then oddly, Bono said, we want to, and we really will. If there's a way we can, we will, kind of.
It was really weird that he was like suddenly the voice of caution.
It does. It's funny because she, and then she like said, well, you're God. Can't you make this happen? Like, to Bono.
Just make it happen.
And it is kind of funny because it feels like, okay, if Bono and Edge want to, unless, like, I guess Larry and Adam are like, no, I hate Australia, we're not going there. Don't send me mail, Australians and New Zealanders. I know they want to go there. I'm just saying. But like, who else is stopping them really? Like, if they might not make money, or they might not, whatever. But anyways, I guess.
I don't think it's a matter of, yeah, I mean, I don't happens. Think it's a matter of wanting to go there or anything like that. I think it's that they know it's that working. They've got an entire PR campaign planned out for when everything is going to happen and when announcements are going to be made and all this sort of stuff. And I think Bono had probably just checked his notes on the PR campaign. Yeah. Said, oh, no, we're not supposed to say anything about this yet.
Yeah, the PR person probably next to him just like buzzed him and said, hey, whoa, can we reel that back just a second? And then that's the reporter there. It was, if you're watching the video version, she's really tall, so probably really intimidating
Yes.
To not
7'9"
They were Bono was on Jimmy Kimmel last night. Well, it was on, I don't know when it taped exactly, but he was on the show last night. Did a song with Chris Martin, and yeah, links to that obviously at u2.com and over on the YouTubes. And U2 also released, since last we talked, the American Soul lyric video. So lots of stuff to watch, check out, and see in the U2 land.
Busy times,
as would be expected, I guess, in promoting a new album, which is kind of fun to see. So in our, what did you call it? A side table discussion?
Our two-seater in the corner.
We got a question in from a reader or a comment, I guess, asking basically, does anyone have a ritual when a new album drops? Which is kind of we knew we wanted to talk about the fact that the album is coming, but didn't know how to frame it exactly. It kind of came at a perfect time. So thank you for that. Whoever, I don't know if the name was ever attached, but thank you for
there
that.
There was no name. It was just an email sent through our contact form on our website. There was no name attached to it. I'm not going to give the email address away. Yeah. So
they said, random
at YouTube reader.
Yeah. And maybe listener or not, we'll find out, I guess. But they said, I got to thinking now that Songs of Experience is available Friday, that I have a certain way that I listen to all U2 music, new U2 music. Since the Joshua Tree, I've listened to new U2 tunes in the same way when they first became available. Back in the old days of listening to it on cassette, album, or CD, or radio even, I always listen to the album front to back over and over, not skipping any tracks. So it's kind of funny. They break down every track as he or she listens, first always focusing on the drums. Then once they have the drums analyzed, they focus on the lyrics. And then once that happens, they focus on the guitar. And then last is the bass. But for all the Adam fans out there, they say, I love how Adam is the driving force for all U2 songs. If you can isolate the bass on any song, it's always so simple, yet it can't be duplicated without Larry pounding next to you. So with a few tracks, I'm just going to...
I love it. It's this very... It's like, yeah, four paragraphs of the album listening ritual. I think it's fantastic.
We've obviously heard a few tracks, depending on what you've heard. And it's an interesting question, because I know in the movie world, there's some folks who try to avoid... Like, say, Star Wars is coming out in a month. Next month. It's coming out right away here. And people try to avoid trailers and avoid previews and just, like, go in fresh. And so that would certainly be one way. Yeah, in the chat where the email has no name. That would certainly be one way to approach this album. Somehow, if you were somehow paying attention to U2 news but didn't listen to anything at all from, like, any of the new stuff they've released at all, somehow managed to do that, that would be one interesting way to go approach that. It'd be pretty hard in this day and age to get that done, unless you just completely shut off social media and unfollowed and stop reading at u2.com, which, why would you do that anyways? So of the, I don't know what about you, but of the songs that have been released, so You're the Best Thing About Me, The Blackout, I want to say Volcano, but it's why am I blanking?
American Soul.
Sounds like, yeah. And
Get Out of Your Own Way.
I've only heard those. And then I just jokingly mentioned, I think, to you that I heard on A&J Garcia. I forget what his actual first name is. I think it's his and his wife's. But anyways, his Instagram story, all of a sudden I'm clicking through and he's like listening to the new U2 album with his son. I'm like, oh, I don't recognize that song. Oh, shoot. I don't know. So I quickly clipped through, because I've been actually trying to avoid it. As much as I know there's leaks and stuff out there of the audio, I've been trying to avoid listening and wanted to listen to it all sort of in the way God intended, or Bono intended, when it comes out on Friday. So what about you?
I'm exact same as you, and I would love to have been able... In fact, I would rather not even have heard the four songs we've heard. I want to hear the album from start to finish with virgin ears for the first time. And so I would prefer not having even heard those four songs. But you're right. I mean, that's impossible, especially when you run a website about U2. It's impossible to say, like, hey guys, I'm going to disappear for the next few weeks. Have fun. See ya.
Yeah. At Jim Sig Tau tweeted at me that he listens with his ears, which is, yes, clever dad joke, but that's how he listens to the first album. It would be fun because, like, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, because, like, when we first heard, like, there was like an American Soul, I think, was like mistakenly put on iTunes or something for like a day or whatever, or it was put somewhere, and we heard it, and we had our chat on Slack, and I was saying, oh gosh, it sounds just like Volcano. Why are they? You know, why does it have to sound just like Volcano? But then when I heard American Soul tagged along with Get Out of Your Own Way, they're obviously meant to be, you know, a two-song kind of medley, kind of sweet. They're connected by that Kendrick Lamar. I thought, wow, these two, they sound fantastic together. And so that, to me, that's the, that just is kind of like more evidence or whatever of why I want to be able to hear the album start to finish. Because I think it seems like from what I'm reading that they, that this album is sort of sequenced and planned in a specific way for, you know, for a reason. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And, yeah. And so just hearing, you know, one song and then, oh, here's, you know, the song number three, and then here's song number nine. And that doesn't, I don't know. That doesn't seem to me like to be the way that I'd prefer to listen.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Bjorn in the chat room said, I think releasing songs one by one is a tactic to get onto Spotify playlists, which is one.
Absolutely.
Marketing.
Absolutely.
Way. And the sort of singles, and it's, it feels like a bit of like, haphazard, more like trying to get different styles of songs out there than any sort of like cohesive vision of this song and this song makes sense to.
And I think Sherry have put on in one of her recent articles, an OTR or something like that, that because charts are now based to whatever percent on number of YouTube streams and Spotify streams and other music service streams, that that's why a lot of artists are doing that. YouTube is doing what a lot of artists do, is which is release a lot of songs individually, a lot of versions of the same song, just to keep people streaming your music and you know, get that extra bonus that way.
Yeah, and get it the sharing of, you know, you see someone else listening to a song or whatever too, and that kind of thing. So yeah, it's an interesting world to try and promote something in, and like they tried with the iTunes method before of dropping the album as a big surprise and free to everybody. That was one way of obviously getting out there that not everybody appreciated the same way we probably did. But yeah, it's interesting that they're sort of approaching it, or they're approaching it differently, but almost in a slightly sort of in the old school way of singles and stuff like that. And, but yeah, of interesting ways of putting out lyric videos more and that kind of stuff is along the way. So it's been an interesting lead up to the album. And it's kind of hard to believe that it actually is going to finally be here. Lots of folks were referencing our competition, as it were, the You Talking You Two to Me podcast out of nowhere of us and put out a new episode, I think this week, promoting the new album and, or talking about the new album. And in it, apparently I stopped listening because I didn't want to hear anything again, but they had clips from songs from the new album in the episode. So you can go to listen to that if you want to and hear some of their thoughts on the new album. So obviously the band gave permission to them to do that. So it's part of their PR blitz, like, as it were, I guess, for the new album. So, but we sort of asked some of our staff, and then we got a bunch of tweets from people that I'll sort of intersperse here as we discuss. But, Becky and our staff said, my ritual is to sit down and listen to a new album in its entirety without headphones. I talk to myself out loud about how I like the music or lyrics, and I usually end up thinking how great or not so great a song will sound live. I usually cry a lot, and I have to be by myself in the first run through because I get so emotional. It's like opening the best gift ever. So, which I agree too. It's kind of like, I don't know if you're this way, but after watching a movie, I kind of have a internal rule that my family maybe doesn't know about, where I'm like, we're not talking about it until we're like at least two blocks away from the movie theater. And then we'll decompress.
Really?
I've realized this over time. I didn't really know. I would just get mad if people started talking about it, but I was like, I realized I just need time to decompress from it. So it's like similarly here and like having that experience, if you're a U2 fan, a huge U2 fan, then you also, I'll understand however you process it. But if you're like, I like one and that one mysterious song and Where the Streets Have Something or whatever, that was a cool song. And then you want to have a discussion with me right after I've heard the album for the first time. I'm kind of like, no, let's just wait. Maybe we'll do that some other time. But what is your sort of first listen through? Or do you have a plan for it? Or is it kind of like, oh, it's there, I'll just turn it on?
Well, that's, you know, because that's why I'm glad that we're doing this as our topic, because I don't have a ritual anymore. I used to have a ritual. I don't remember okay, so we'll go back one album, Songs of Innocence. My ritual was, because they dumped it on us at like noon West Coast time from the Apple event, and like there it was, and I was like, I got to write this news story on At U2, and I got to figure out what on earth they just announced and everything. And it was just like all this craziness going on, but I want to listen to the album too. And so that was a terrible experience of listening to that album for the first time because I couldn't concentrate on the music. I was trying to write and publish and tweet and all this sort of stuff. So it was, that was not a good experience. I don't remember my listening experience for No Line on the Horizon. I have no recollection of that whatsoever. So I've been thinking for this album that, like, for me, I always have to hear it, and I know people I know, you know, said this in some of their Ask At You Too comments. I always have to listen to it in my car because that seems to be the best sounding place, and you're enclosed and all that sort of stuff. So that, I think, is my plan, is that somehow Friday I'm going to go listen in my car and drive. I don't know where I'll drive, but that's what I'm leaning towards. So that's why I'm glad we're doing this topic, because I love hearing what everyone else is doing. And somebody said something about laying down in the dark or something like that, right? Somebody said they're going to turn the lights out, put their headphones on, lay down. That's what I used to do. That's how I listened to Unforgettable Fire, and it was magic. And I'm like, maybe I should do that again.
Yeah, that's a great segue, Matt, by the way. So Sherry said, I don't know if that was intentional or not, but we'll say it was. My ritual is to get a pair of headphones, block out the world for the length of the album, and listen to it with my eyes closed. I don't write anything down. I just listen. Should a leaked copy of it mysteriously arrive, I will confess that I do listen. Do I feel guilty about that? No, I've already pre-ordered the album in multiple formats, and I can verify that Sherry definitely has multiple formats coming. I will listen to the same way. And then on release day, I'll still do my ritual. Then go in the car, crank it to 11, sometimes with the windows down, and drive until the album finishes. So I like the idea of on YouTube album release day, whenever it actually hits the iTunes store, let's say digital, or wherever you happen to be listening to it digitally, or when the courier brings it on Friday or whatever from a delivery, or you go to the store and get it. I like the idea that just all these cars, you know, Google's maps all of a sudden get thrown off on all their GPS tracking of people, because all these cars just start randomly driving nowhere for like an hour, basically.
In circles.
Yeah. Brian said, I like to listen to a new album once or twice as a background music first, just to get a sense of what it sounds like and feels like before really diving in. Then I like to sit back with a pair of headphones and listen to the whole thing for real with no distractions. U2 albums usually need a little room to grow, and this really helps me appreciate the music as fully as I can. And finally, headphones or car. I think that's sort of like, because most people's phone, their phone itself doesn't, or, you know, computer even don't have great speakers, but get a pair of headphones, get it in your car. It feels like more immersive.
Well, and I was specifically referring to the part where he says that he just listens with it, like, without not really paying attention or whatever. Cause like Ian Ryan, our lyrics guy, and I have had this argument. I think we may have even argued this on the podcast. Like, I don't listen to Bono's lyrics until like the fifth or sixth time that I hear the album. I just want to hear the songs and what they sound like and what the vibe is and the mood and the atmosphere and all this. And then, like, you know, if I like the songs, then I'll pay attention to his lyrics.
Just
sorry, Bono.
Interrupting here. YouTube Conga says, I just saw Peppermint Twinkies at Safeway. Is that some special...
Matt, I just saw...
Anyways, you can sort that out. Kelly said, when Octang Baby was released at midnight, I had just recovered from a long bout of food poisoning, and I picked up a profoundly delicious roast beef sandwich on my way home. Since then, I always eat a sandwich during my first U2 album listen, which I think that's pretty great. I remember the only one I really remember, I remember No Line coming out, and I don't remember what I did, but I just remember listening to it, but I don't remember if there's any sort of special thing I did. I think I just had it at home and put it on the computer or whatever. But I remember Zooropa coming out and going to the mall to buy it with a friend. And at that time, that's pre, we didn't have a Discman along, even a CD player, or obviously pre iPod, pre anything. So we bought it. You're at the mall and then you unwrapped it. We went to grab some food in the food court, maybe a delicious burger or a sandwich or whatever, like Kelly.
Or a peppermint Twinkie.
Yeah. But you're just like, you just can look at you could pour over the liner notes and the album cover and look at it. But it took us till we got home, obviously, to actually be able to listen to it before we could sort of actually hear the music. And so it's kind of like this much slower, obviously, than today process of just taking in the physical album and then actually hearing it for the first time all at once. So whereas we got a preview of the album cover way back long time ago in Vancouver at the end of the first Joshua Tree concert. So from Twitter, we got and various folks at beach_feet said, this time I listened to you talking to you two to me, and it was the best possible way to listen to the new album. At Pickles71 said, happily listened to the new album via the leak. Why wouldn't I look under the Christmas tree at my presents? 99% of the people who had already bought the album anyways, the piracy issue doesn't affect you two in their opinion. more an issue for up and coming bands. For me, Pickles, I needed to hear the rest of the album because the Get Out of Your Own Way and Best Things are so lame, I had to know it wasn't an album full of tracks like that. So presumably the way they're talking, it wasn't, I guess. It's sort of past tense. So for them, it's worked out. I think it is an interesting idea. Like, does a leak affect a band like U2? And I would argue, like Pickles did, that it's not a huge effect on their sales these days. It's not... A lot of the fans who do want it will be buying it already. A lot of the fans who wouldn't buy it are probably already on streaming services and will listen to it that way. And
a lot of fans are getting it for free because they got concert tickets.
Yeah, exactly. It's a whole other angle, which will be interesting to see. Because that's what somebody had mentioned at some point. Like, there's a lot of U2 fans' friends who are going to be getting the CD for Christmas probably. Because I'll be getting two to my house and I already have the digital copy. So I guess somebody will be getting one of those at least. At Mysterious Days, listening in the chat somewhere, I think, but said, I don't listen to leaks mainly because I like to have the real release in my hand and listen to official tracks in my car while driving around for an hour. Sorry, not sorry about the use of gas. I still remember the glory days of saving my pennies, walking down to the record shop to buy a record and playing vinyl at home. I like to savor those kinds of moments whenever I can. So do you have a, I think you don't have a record player, right? I think we talked about this in a previous episode.
I do have a vinyl player, right?
You do.
Remember, I almost knocked my set over last time.
Right,
we had and it kind of started to fall on me. I had the big Joshua Tree thing. Yeah.
So, did you get a vinyl version of this album?
Not yet.
You're waiting to see, or what? Waiting for Santa?
Yes, I got the two because I ordered two tickets with my pre-sale code. I was one of the blessed few that did not have problems. Last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. And so I got the email with two, you know, you get two free copies. And so one of them I already redeemed to get a CD. And that I got actually the notice that was mailed yesterday or today. You know, yesterday I got the notice that has already been put in the mail. So I'll be getting the CD within the next couple of days, it sounds like. And then I'm going to use the second redemption to get the digital copy on Friday or whatever. And then I'm going to have to decide if I want the vinyl or not. And looking at some of the pictures that people are putting on Twitter, I think I'm going to want the vinyl.
Yeah, it definitely looks good. That's for sure.
It really does. Yeah, it looks like a really, really, you know, it's a gorgeous blue and just has the whole, you know, the whole.
It's not, like, I'm not a collector by any means. I have I have a picture up of U2 that a guy I know drew. But I don't have a lot of other like sort of memorabilia stuff that I keep. But seeing the album, the vinyl version of this record, or this whatever album has me at least doing a little bit of research on record players. I don't know if I'll actually commit to one, but if nothing else, it's got to be an education for my kids, right? To show how we used to have to listen to music, even though I never actually really listened to that other than old Oak Ridge Boys records my parents had.
Every so often I'll put something on the turntable behind me. Just I have some old 80s Journey and the Cars and U2, obviously. So yeah.
And then you do some scratching.
Yes, I do. You know me, DJ MC Gee. That's what my last name is called
for. Bjorn in the chat said, I have the leak, but I'm limiting my listening knowing I want to support them on Spotify, even though he also bought by getting concert tickets, which it is like, I'm sure most bands have that kind of devotion of like, I still want to give them money, which is good. I'm not making fun of that idea. Obviously, it's good to support artists and creative types of all types. So, and he also asked for a record player for Christmas, so we'll have to let us know what you get if Santa brings you one. Actually, and I have Bjorn's here. His comment is next. Nice, another nice segue. He just realized, I've been in a different country for the last four albums. Songs of Innocence in India was the worst, as my internet access was 0.5 megabytes and I had to update iTunes before the album would download.
Oh my god.
My wife suggested waiting 2 weeks until we were home. Yeah, that was one of the part of the things. You had to update iTunes first. I remember that was overall frustrating experience, because some people you'd see them tweet about how they had it. It was available. They could download it. And I was like, it's not there for me. What do I do? Am I doing something wrong? And it wasn't like an awesome experience, but getting it for free.
And Chris, you know, and it's also tradition, by the way, on this podcast that about every 3 or 4 months, I check the Twitter stream to see if people are still complaining about that.
Right.
And I will point you to this tweet that I just looked up a minute ago while you were talking. This is from Brodeo. And this was tweeted, is today November 29th? It is. This was tweeted at 10:28 this morning. And Brodeo says, that effing U2 album that got downloaded to every iPhone still plays every time I plug my phone into my speakers. Oh my gosh. It's been 3+ years and they're still complaining about it.
Oh, that's a bit of a weird legacy for that album, eh?
That, I am so sorry. Yeah.
I know. I put myself in the shoes of someone like if it was, I don't want to name the name of a band right now, but like somebody that I just cannot stand. And if that album, like not getting it for free, I wouldn't complain about that. Who cares? It's just music. But if it did actually start playing, because it's, you know, happens, I don't know how it's first in their playlist or whatever, why it starts. But right. Anyways, I do feel for you if that's a thing for you that you somehow hate U2 and happen to be stuck with a phone that plays it for you. At DRC Fire says, my ritual for a new album is a glass of wine or glasses of wine, noise canceling headphones and solitude for the first listen. And no lyrics to read. I just want to feel and experience the sound of the album the first go through. Yeah. And I'll read the lyrics through and have a second listen. Yeah. The first world problems for sure is getting the album for free and complaining about it a bunch. But at Ematigist, I don't know how you say that one. I did not listen to Leak album. I will resist and wait. My prep for the release is by spending some time listening to all their albums with my headphones on. Just reignites my love for the band. Which is a good way to do it.
You know, the thing, you know what else I don't like, Chris?
Oh, I was supposed to have that one ready. And
where's that sound clip?
You know what else I don't like?
Volcanoes. There you go. Thank you. No, I don't think Volcanoes. Would you please stop playing Volcanoes? Terrible. No, I don't think that anymore. Stop it.
Okay, no, go ahead.
But you were saying about the movies, or like Twitter and social media has made going to the movies like almost impossible, because if there's a movie I want to see, I know I need to see it the first night that it's out. Otherwise, I'm going to see 100 people tweeting about how great it is or how awful it is. And I'm experiencing that same exact thing with these songs, because a bunch of people that I follow and some on our staff have listened to the leaked album and they're like, oh, this song sounds like this. And this song reminds me of this. And I'm like, I want to decide these things for myself. Don't tell me all this.
I don't want to go in blind, right? Or not blind.
Whatever. Right.
Yeah. Into the album anyways, whatever the
should be like term. A separate Twitter chat room for people that want to comment on the songs.
But there's somebody, I don't know if I can name his name, but somebody in on our staff who is like avoiding spoilers for Joshua Tree tour until they went, right? Didn't, because they weren't at the first show. So I guess you can do process elimination here. But then I noticed that they, I think it was them, that they had listened to the leaked version of the album. I was like, what? You can't have it both ways. But yeah, to each their own, obviously. We're no judgment here, but if you're listening to leak albums, you're probably going to go to hell. But no, I'm just kidding. At YouTube War 40 says, speaking of, I've listened to some of the leaked material. For the first listen, I will listen to it via Spotify in the car driving around town. I find a great peace in this as no one can reach me while I'm driving. No texting and driving helps.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
Focusing and
interesting how many people want to hear it first in their car. That's kind of interesting to me.
And yeah, I guess, I don't know.
You can the next one as well.
Yeah, you could do a generalization of, you know, older people maybe associated with driving around in the car a lot, and maybe the young millennials with their Ubers and things. We'll have to get Mason's perspective on it sometime as our token.
Who are you calling old?
Hey, mister, couldn't find an app on his phone before we started.
Yeah. I don't know how to use it.
Conrad Good said, yeah, drive through the California desert. I'm assuming that means, or I don't think that means the Canadian desert. Stereo cranked. At Jeff Cockwell says, sitting in silence with no distractions, listening to the album in its entirety to fully take it in. When it ends, I hit repeat and do it all again. At GM Garrison 76, dark room, headphones, glass of water. First time without lyrics and second time with lyrics to soak in. Hopefully not in the water. At Nick Askew, even in this day and age, I will still go somewhere at midnight and try to get a hard copy. It's usually at Walmart and they just give me weird looks, but it's tradition. And I'll go a couple more here. At Cockroach Blue, when Zooropa was released, my company had just leased a new building, but it was dormant, dark, unused construction zone. I laid on the floor in the dark alone with headphones blasting. Every album since, yeah. I've laid alone on the floor in the dark for a first listen.
Right? That's what I did with Unforgettable Fire, and it was incredible. Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Let's see, anything else? I think, yeah, at Bad Acrobat, I already listened to it many times. It's a great album. The rest of those songs are nothing like the four released. They're some of the best songs the band has written since the 90s. And U2 War 40 added, still not sold on American Soul. I would take Glastonbury and Volcano, but a third incarnation gets me a little fatigued. So there you go. That's like a whirlwind tour of a bunch of options for how you might listen to it. We don't really know for sure when, like, I know in the App Store, on iTunes anyways, it's kind of like 10, 11 o'clock is when new stuff arrives, at least software updates and on the software side. Does music?
Yeah, that's what I've noticed too. It's because it's usually about 9 o'clock Pacific for me. So I think everything in North America for you and I just runs off midnight Eastern time. So I'm assuming tomorrow night, Thursday the 30th, around 9 p.m., it should be available on Spotify,
right,
or iTunes, or wherever you're gonna get it digitally.
Yeah,
that's what I'm guessing, at least.
Yeah,
maybe we'll have like a listening party on Twitter or something like that.
Yeah, I know Tim Neufeld, Crystal Ballroom fame, of Crystal Ballroom fame, is planning to do some sort of thing on Friday, too, to try and...
Oh, cool.
You kind of want to, like, obviously don't want to get in trouble with copyright playing the music live, unless you're other podcasts that shall be...
Good. Done. Yeah. Well, right, we don't have the luxury of doing that. So, yes, don't... I don't recommend periscoping yourself listening to the album...
But there is, I know there's a popular thing on YouTube, like the reaction videos is a big thing amongst the kids these days. And so you could put if you put the music on your headphones, record yourself in a camera and then hit play and just your reactions to it, like saying it out loud, even though people can't hear it. You could say hit play to the viewers, say hit play on your copy and I'm going to listen to it all the way through and then watch someone's reactions.
Oh my gosh,
to them.
Really?
Yeah. You could do something like that anyways, if you really wanted to get in on the whole YouTube thing. And that's what's, yeah.
What will they think of next?
Radio is blind.
So, I think that's, is there anything else in our notes? I think we're kind of blasted through everything.
We did cover everything. That's good. I don't know, Chris, I'm excited. It's funny. There's like been mostly positive reviews. And then there's been a few negative ones. And whenever the U2, it's become like sort of a sport right now for me. And I'm not the only person that runs the @U2 Twitter account. Sherry and Tasula and Fernanda have access to it as well. But I know when I am sending out links to the various album reviews, I can already tell which ones people are going to get angry about. I'm just like, it's just someone's opinion. Just relax. It doesn't make it good or bad. It's whatever you think about it that matters. So anyway.
Yeah,
it cracks me up to see how I love how passionate everybody gets about, you know, oh, the NME hates U2 anyway. Of course, they wrote a negative review and all that. All that
kind of stuff. It is funny, like the idea of having to have, like, I appreciate somebody having a negative view of the album when they have some well-formed thoughts about it, right? Just like any review of anything. If it's just kind of like, you can tell the person has it out. I don't know if it's the NME or whatever, but like, you know, if the person just has a fairly uninformed opinion about the band, or it's based on that band that gave me this stupid album and now I can't get rid of it, and so I'm going to hate everything they ever do, then a well-formed review of it or whatever. I've actually avoided reviews for the most part too, reading them. The one that Sherry had linked to, I think you two listened to it as well, but something like it was like their food writer also wrote the review of the album or something like that. So nothing against people who write about food. They can have music interests as well, obviously. But it's just kind of funny to sort of read that one. But everybody comes to U2, obviously, from a different place. Like even M. Pacinella. What did you say in the chat? The AV Club review was based around Actung Baby fandom. So that's where I started with U2. And so my reference point for what U2 sounds like is kind of like Actung Baby is like the definitive U2. And then everything else has been kind of either matching up to that or not that or whatever. And so I don't know, it's everybody has their own perspective, obviously. And then, like many people have referenced, hearing them live is where they kind of, the songs really come alive for people, or for me anyways. And so there's just an excitement now knowing the tour is happening and gonna get to hear a lot of these songs. And
I would just, if you're getting angry about the reviews, I would just say go to YouTube and do a search for that scene from the end of Ratatouille where the guy gives that speech about critics, and just keep in mind that, you know, that's their job to spout their opinions, and
yeah,
it doesn't matter. If you enjoy it, that's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly. Argue with your brother or sister or friend or whatever, sure. Because they're an idiot if they don't like the new album. But it does bring up the interesting discussion of like the, which happens every time an album comes out is, you know, Matt says he hates Volcano. Everybody says, how could you hate Volcano? Oh, it's U2. And I'm just picking a random example. I don't even know if you hate Volcano or not, but.
You're killing me. You are Volcano. Killing me. Would you? Oh God, here we go again.
But yeah, it's kind of funny that like there's that argument of like, you don't have to like everything U2 does, or you have to like everything U2 does that people have. And it's both are valid because that's just how somebody views the band and views the artist. And yeah, it's interesting. So
there's nothing wrong with Volcano, Chris. That is the soundbite I want you to start using.
All right, I'll see if I can remember to record that one instead of the other one. My sound bites are acting up again, I guess, or something.
Now, Sleep Like a Baby, on the other hand. Yeah. I was out in the garage doing some work on the weekend and had my Spotify playing through Bluetooth. And across the, I think I was like down in the driveway or whatever, and I could hear the opening strains of Sleep Like a Baby. And I dropped everything in my hand. I sprinted. Next! Fast forward, next song. Yeah, so that hasn't changed. But Volcano, I've warmed up to.
All right.
Get it all out the edge.
All right. Well, I think we'll wrap up there and keep the tweets coming. You can use hashtag AskAtU2 if you're not sure how to send in comments. What I was referenced to is lots of people were using the hashtag AskAtU2 and tweeting those, and we collect those as we're going through the week. What?
Are we going to do so? Like, what will we do a podcast? The next one will be about the album itself?
Yeah, I guess next, probably do one next week. Yeah. Everybody will have their chance to lay on the floor, drive around for an hour, whatever. Maybe we'll do a everybody in their car podcast or something like that.
You know what would be cool? We should ask people to take photos of themselves listening to the album, whether they're in their car. Well, like, don't like be safe. Don't like take a photo of yourself while you're driving. But like, or if you're in a dark room or whatever. Yeah. Take, and then what's the hashtag we use for that?
Just use the same one. Ask at U2. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
But yeah, use hashtag ask at U2 and tweet us at wherever. We don't check Instagram, but there's not like an easy way to automatically check Instagram. Yeah. So if you tweet myself directly or whatever, or use the hashtag ask at U2 and we'll find it and get it in for the next episode. Cause that'd be fun to sort of see people around the world listening to the new album, wherever they happen to be in the world. So
yeah, that'd be cool.
And that's actually an ongoing theme with the podcast. We sort of stopped asking for a while, but anytime you want to, you feel like taking a selfie with yourself, well, obviously, listening to the podcast somewhere in the world, because it's just cool to see, know that the words we're speaking right now, A, that somebody actually is listening to it out there, and B, that where it happens to be in the world is just kind of cool, just for fun, see how far this thing goes. Because every so often, I was joking about this before, that we should maybe leak an episode of the podcast, and then maybe we'd build up some extra hype for the album or something. Anyways, it's all free. You get it for free. Cyber Monday promotions on today. Okay, so Matt, where can people argue with you if they really, whatever, love Volcano?
If you love Sleep Like a Baby Tonight, don't at me. I don't want to hear it from you. But if you have other intelligent comments that you would like to share with me, I am at Matt McGee on Twitter. That is the best place to reach me.
Yeah, and I'm iChris on Twitter. That's where you can at me there. And ATU2 is the Twitter account for this website that we're podcasting from somehow. U2 at U2.com, ATU2.com, Facebook.com/changing browsers. Where is it? Facebook.com/ATU2com. And Instagram.com/ATU2com is also.
And vote for me for Cancun.com CEO, please.
Where are we here? There we go. We'll end with that slide. Yes,
thank you. Just go to my Twitter. Just go to twitter.com/Matt McGee, and it's my pinned tweet. It links to the page where you vote, and you can vote every day.
We'll put a link in the show notes if I remember.
Unless and if I win, I'm buying everyone a pina colada.
In Cancun.
In Cancun. You got to get there, but I'll buy the drinks when
I'm kind of thinking I might submit my own application at this point. I was looking, there's no rules on it has to be a US person, so I kind of think.
No, not at all. It can be people from all over the world.
All right. So vote for Matt, and we'll see you back here next week when we've all heard Songs of Experience for the first, or sorry, those of us who haven't listened to the leaks and are therefore better people overall will have heard it for the first time.
Exactly.
And the rest of you can then join us in discussion about that at the next episode. Thanks for listening. Hope you have a great day. Bye.